T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 2 of our broadcast. And because I'm a nice guy, I'll take one more call on this polling issue. Let's go to Jimmy out of Easley. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Vince. You know, I figured out like 98%. I agree with you. I am a religious conservative, but I'm not necessarily a Republican. I'm an independent. I don't eat their junk all the time. Here's the deal. When Trump did win, they had him so far behind he couldn't even catch up, and Hillary was just going to blow it by. None of that was true. And you remember, you said you didn't believe it.
Right.
And now, you know, I know the media controls the polls, and they hate Trump. I mean, you probably can't find one of them, even with Fox, that actually likes him. can I believe what they say? No. Because that's all you hear. Trump, slow down. Well, you know, he's president. Even like I said, when Obama was in, I said, look, people, he's my president. Whether he's a Democrat or Republican, I will honor that. Trump's my president right now. I will honor that because he was elected by the majority of the people. And, you know, if he gets elected, that media and some of them shows on TV, they just going to have to cut their buttons off because they don't have nothing to talk about.
I appreciate your call there, Jimmy. That is hilarious. By the way, I know the Democrats will jump all over you for saying he won a majority of the votes. He did not. The popular vote was won by Hillary Clinton. That did a whole lot of good for her, didn't it? I told you we were going to talk about what has happened to the Freedom Caucus. There's a great piece that was written this weekend, and the title of this, The Vanishing of the Freedom Caucus, is written by Stephen Kent. And he talks about what happened with the departure recently of Justin Amash. I know there's a lot of controversy about Justin Amash because he has called on the Congress to consider the possibility of impeachment. Now, we can have a debate and discussion about that particular subject. But it is interesting that he finds himself on the outs with a group that he helped to found. What is going on here? To provide some perspective on this, we have the person who has written this piece, who we're having on the broadcast for the very first time, political commentator based out of Raleigh and spokesperson for Young Voices. I'm referring to Stephen Kent. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Vince. It's been a long time. It's nice to speak with you.
Yes, great to speak with you as well. Let's start off, first off, and talk about the Freedom Caucus. What's the whole purpose for this organization? Why was it founded?
Well, the Freedom Caucus is pretty clear in what their founding purpose is. They say that they give voice to countless Americans who feel that Washington does not represent them. They support open, accountable, and limited government, the Constitution, the rule of law, and policies that promote the liberty, safety, and prosperity of all Americans. So there's a lot there. It's all kind of jargon and kind of wrapped up in a mission statement. But if you were to ask me what that all means, is that is a caucus that is dedicated to sort of gumming up the works of Washington, D.C., slowing down compromise between both parties in D.C., which really works to restrain the size and scope of government. And there's also something that is woven in there that would suggest that they exist to sort of curtail excesses by the executive branch, no matter who you would think is in the White House.
So what has happened to the Freedom Caucus? And because we've seen a change. Now, you talk about some of the history. There was significant. They played a significant role in getting rid of John Boehner, thank goodness. And there was a level of accountability they were trying to provide to the Republican Party and challenging Paul Ryan and some of his very deceitful tactics as well. So what has happened now to the Freedom Caucus? Where are they making their mark?
Well, I guess just to be blunt, what has happened to the Freedom Caucus is the same thing that has happened to the Republican Party, which is the rise of Donald Trump and sort of really changing the understanding of what the conservative consensus is in Washington. Donald Trump did not run as a conservative. He ran as Donald Trump, which is absolutely something else. And what you've had in the Freedom Caucus is an alliance between libertarian and conservative politicians who sort of have been able to unite around a small government agenda and opposing someone like Barack Obama and his ally, John Boehner. And this alliance between libertarians and conservatives to sort of curtail government goes back to the 1980s with a very clear opponent in that of communism. This sort of brought these two sides, which really, in reality, don't have a great deal in common besides suspicion of the left. And what you've had in Donald Trump is sort of a smashing of this single reason to be allied, because Donald Trump is himself a big government guy. He wants an activist government for a certain set of policies. And this libertarian and conservative alliance is rapidly falling apart. Justin Amash leaving is sort of the latest chapter in that story.
One of the things that you mentioned here in going back in history, I want to mention some of these names because they're very significant. Founding members, Mark Meadows, Mick Mulvaney, who is now the acting chief of staff, Jim Jordan, Ron DeSantis, and Justin Amash. And I had a conversation with someone recently about this because all of the things you talked about, smaller government, financial accountability, do you hear these conversations at all anywhere, Stephen Kent?
Well, I don't hear these conversations being had. I still see a lot of lip service being paid to those given things. But, you know, when the Freedom Caucus ends up supporting a military spending bill that ended up passing during the government shutdown or after the government shutdown of 2017 into 2018. You know, they just sort of mask this as you know, business as usual in D.C. Mick Mulvaney himself wrote in 2015 in the Wall Street Journal that we have to absolutely rethink the way that we do military spending. He was one of the chief enemies of then-Senator John McCain. And like you mentioned, like Mick Mulvaney now sitting in the White House as the chief of staff of Donald Trump and saying that spending and new deficits is just a necessity of government is evidence that these people, once they get into Washington and they get not just into Washington, but serious power, they become different people because they are interested in survival. And the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump has the ability to snuff out opposition like no other president, particularly a Republican president, has before. You saw this happen with Mark Sanford of South Carolina. May his career rest in peace. You know, this is just what happens when you go against the president. He works to demolish you. And there are very few politicians left in the Freedom Caucus who are willing to endure that kind of harassment. And the Freedom Caucus, just, you know, in the past 2 years, there was a moment where they were considered an enemy of the administration. But they've decided to reverse course and be part of his coalition.
We only have less than a minute left. So the freedom movement, where does it stand? Where is it?
It's deeply confused, and I think it doesn't really know what it is fighting anymore besides fighting against this nebulous idea of the left. And frankly, that's just not enough. The cultural vision between Republicans and Democrats may be very, very different. But at the end of the day, governing parties in Washington, D.C. are committed to the expansion of government for whoever their voters are. The Freedom Caucus and their decline really signifies a descent in the ability of a single body in Congress to check the ability of government to grow. And it's deeply unfortunate. And I wish Justin Amash all the best. I'm not sure if he has a career much longer in Washington.
Right. Hold on. Let's consider carrying this through the break. Hold on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, we're talking with Stephen Kent, who is discussing what's happened to the Freedom Caucus. Stephen is a political commentator based out of Raleigh, spokesperson for Young Voices. And one of the things I commonly hear, and this is the message I constantly hear from people, Stephen, is we've got to come together to fight the left. And you used that phrase a little bit earlier, kind of as a reference, and you used the word nebulous to describe this. Why is that nebulous?
Well, you know, I don't think that the left in general is a appropriate way to sort of unify in fighting in Washington, D.C. You know, the left is sort of one set of ideas, but the ideas that we have always been committed to in the freedom movement and the liberty movement has been the size and excesses of government. And when you sort of get that tribalistic and you say, okay, well, I'm going to only fight one shade of big government, then you're just going to turn a blind eye quite naturally to the excesses of the other kind. And listen, socialism, AOC, these things are scary. I do not like what is coming out of the Democratic Party these days. But that does not mean that you can just sort of write a blank check to the Republican Party and their politicians sort of in response to that, even as bad as the Democrats can get.
And I think this is something that very often gets lost in this discussion, is there's such a, you used a word that I use very often, which is tribalism. We've got this tribalism that is set in, and we're just basically defending sides. And I wonder whether we're defending sides of the, ultimately of the same coin.
Yeah, you know, I think that tends to be the case. And, you know, going back to Justin Amash and his departure from the Freedom Caucus, you know, this is a guy who had 100% from the Club for Growth and a 99% lifetime score, that his one big offense in which they discussed voting to condemn him was saying that, you know what, this executive might be impeachable and perhaps we should pursue that. And that's not just tied to the Russia investigation and all the stuff going on around Mueller. Just, you know, obvious signs of corruption with this president, whether it be with that obstruction or it be with his practices at Mar-a-Lago and doubling the cost of admission to this club so you can spend time around him and curry favor and influence. This is something that conservatives, libertarians, small government people should be deeply alarmed by. And just in general, our Congress has to be constantly coveting power from the executive and finding ways to try to curtail them and rein them in. It is no secret that every president has grown the strength of the White House. And frankly, every member of the Freedom Caucus should be narrowly focused on just that mission, causing trouble for the White House so that Congress can get its power back.
You know, that's one of the interesting things that I you're not privy to this, but I've had a conversation with someone some time ago where I basically said that we've reached a point. I had a conversation with someone who was suggesting that this country, by the way we're going, you know, we had the Barack Obama people who just praised and worshipped Barack Obama. Now is the era of Trump. And I had a person who actually said to me, you know, I think this country is more fitting for a monarchy by the way people are going and what we're turning the presidency into. And I've come to the place, I feel like, oh, this person apology, because I kind of laughed at that person. Mm-hmm. Is this not what we're doing to the executive branch? We are continuing to elevate it beyond its intended purpose.
Everybody, I say this often, and Vince, I think it's true what your friend said, is I think that at our core, human beings are naturally predisposed to king worship, to following single strong leaders. That is why monarchy is the natural and has been the longstanding state of human government up until the founding of this country, which really took off something entirely new. Democracy is not our natural state. I just saw the other day Candace Owens, the Fox News commentator and conservative pundit, was saying that, you know, there's no question that people should be stripped of their citizenship for flag burning. Right? I mean, this is just bizarre stuff coming from the right wing these days. And it just very much reeks of monarchy. Kamala Harris has made similar proposals when it comes to immigration, completely overhauling the system with the power of the pen in the White House and giving a mandate to Congress that they would have 60 days to do something on guns or she would do it herself. You know, everybody's looking for a king, and it's nice to feel like you're winning in these battles between the right and the left. But listen, it's just not a fair trade, and it's not something that we should consider.
Pretty strong words there, and I think some cautionary words for us as we move forward looking at the big picture. Stephen Kent, enjoyed talking with you. Look forward to having you back again sometime.
Thanks, Vince.
I want to get your thoughts on this. And again, this is not a personality contest. I want that to be understood. That what has been going on progressively in our system, and we've said this plenty of times, we've watched the executive branch grow in its power, in its authority, and Congress defer its authority and its power. It's not a healthy thing. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Now, if you want to have that conversation about, well, everybody's against Donald Trump, if you want to have that conversation in a different context, there's a place for that conversation. But the bigger conversation ought to be, why is Congress continuing to allow itself to be neutered? Because that's what's happening. When we give authority to the executive branch, for instance, here's a perfect example. Why was it necessary for so many regulations to be reversed by the Trump administration? Because they were put in place by the Obama administration through executive authority. You've given all these agencies lawmaking authority. Where does that lawmaking authority? Let's go back to Schoolhouse Rock. How are things supposedly supposed to become law, John?
You submit a bill, only a bill, or something like that.
Exactly.
You legislate.
But through these agencies, we've given these powers extra congressional authority, extra constitutional authority to all these agencies. Now, it's great. I'm thrilled to death that Donald Trump has reversed a lot of these, but it hasn't fixed the problem. You've got to slam the door shut by Congress reasserting its authority. Have you heard that discussion from anybody in the Freedom Caucus? I don't hear it. And the president ought to be leading that discussion. I'd love to get your thoughts. Let's go out to Joe in York. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. It's a very, very timely conversation that we're talking about today. And going back in history, and correct me if I'm wrong, the strength of the party is above the people, and I can prove that with the primaries held where Hillary Clinton won enough primaries that she should have been the Democrat candidate for president and not Barack Obama. And what the Democratic Committee did, the National Democratic Party did, is I'm pretty sure they would not count Florida and Illinois, which she won both of those. They took them out of the count so that Barack Obama would be the one nominated. And I was very, very disturbed about that.
Now, to go back in history, it looks like the party apparatus really helped Barack Obama to win the nomination, and then they screwed Bernie Sanders to help Hillary win. Wasn't this how this worked? They're very, very slick about this process, Joe. More of your calls. In fact, they are stacking up as we speak. We'll get to those after the break, right here.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
back in the Vince Coakley radio program. I want to get your thoughts on the conversation we had with Stephen Kent about where we go. In fact, I'm going to be sharing very soon. I did extract this again. The really good message delivered by Nigel Farage at CPAC several years ago. I'm going to play this again very soon. Because he talks about this nexus between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, basically they're big government parties, this illicit relationship between big government and big business. And it hasn't changed, ladies and gentlemen. It really hasn't. The only thing that's changed is the personnel at the top. That's what's changed. And I think sometimes we are, dare I say, misguided into believing more has changed than has really changed. Let's go out to Herb in Lancaster. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. Welcome back. I had to pull off the road in order to make this phone call.
Well, thank you.
To tell you what happened this weekend. I was at one of our Buffalo Soldier meetings and got into a conversation about what's happening, generally what you're talking about now. And I was trying to show the individuals the harm the Republican and Democratic parties are doing to the general public. And I was trying to tell them about, please stop helping us, Riley. Didn't want to hear that. So I held up my copy. I had my copy of 1984 by Orwell. I told them I was reading it again, and as my creator is my judge. I literally got chills to see how many of these things are in place. The thought police. You cannot speak the truth. Or now they want the platform, Google and all the rest, to censor what's being put out there in a free society where you have the First Amendment. If someone has defamed you, we have a court system to take care of that. And the gentleman persisted, and I said, don't you realize the president, according to the Constitution, is supposed to be only a figurehead, a rubber stamp. Power resides in the Congress. He didn't want to hear it, and plus, he had never read the Constitution, but yet he had everything to say about it. And his final words were, I bet you voted for Trump. I said, yes, and let me tell you why. The Republicans, a lot of them didn't want him. A lot of the Democrats didn't want him. And I voted for Trump as a catalyst to wake up America so they would see what's going on. Not that Trump is correct, but I knew he was going to go against the old buddy-buddy system up there in Washington. These people only put on the appearance of being conservative and liberal, but they get behind closed doors. And they make these deals. We are in big trouble. Big trouble, Vince. I just had to say that this morning.
Herb, I do appreciate your call. It sounds like you are right on point. And as you describe here, the president has an opportunity here. He has an opportunity. The question is, will he take that up and bring about significant change? Anita in Piedmont, good morning.
Good morning. Let me say one thing first. Good thoughts and prayers out to your dad. And
thank you.
I hope you recover soon. But anyway, nope. I'm going to disagree one time on the part that the executive branch is neutering the legislative branch. They have neutered themselves, and this has been going on for damn years. And they've done it to themselves. And they, as far as a monarchy, they're the ones that want to legislate that to where they're in power and in control, and we keep electing these people. Now, your vote counts. And this has been going on. I would take it back when I noticed a real big change, been years, but in Clinton, when he was in the White House and was impeached for what he did, and friends that I've known for years and years that were conservative were trying to argue the point, well, they shouldn't be bringing up what he does on his own personal time. Well, that wasn't his own personal time. He was in the damn Oval Office, and taxpayers paid for that, and that's when I saw things changing. So anyway.
Well, I appreciate your call there, Anita. And I think the question we have to ask here is, leaving aside who is in office, is it a good thing that power shifts away from lawmaking in Congress? Even though you may not like the people in Congress, is it a good thing for our system? Is it constitutionally sound that we see a growth in the power of the presidency? Stan, good morning.
Good morning, Vince. How are you?
Doing well, sir.
Yeah, I want to say one of the things that I've seen change, if you're going to want to go to the radio, start with Woodrow Wilson, but anyway, one of the things I know that changed is when the Senate became popularly elected.
Yes, significant change.
State regulation, basically the federal government basically taxes money. They dole it out back to the states, and then they put the regulations on the states. The states themselves would never vote for that. And it's the same thing they're trying to getting rid of the Electoral College.
Yes.
Everything popularly done.
Uh-huh.
Basically, what they do is they get 51% or more of the people addicted to getting their money through Medicare, Social Security, social programs, via government regulations. And as long as you have 51% of the people depending on you monetarily, then you will stay in power, and that's the goal.
Stan, I couldn't have said it better. You have hit it right on the head. And this is where I get very concerned, by the way, when I hear Republicans use words like populism. That is a very dangerous thing. It is. I had promised I would give you an update on the situation in the family, and I will try to do that here in this couple of minutes. Last week, I mentioned going to Kentucky. My father has been in failing health. I will just briefly tell you, we were in the midst of trying to begin to make plans to relocate my parents because of the health situation. On the very day that I was doing that, my dad passed out. He passed out, and in the course of that, we realized he was having a seizure or stroke. This was last Tuesday morning, and as a result, he was taken to a hospital in Lexington, about 30 miles away, and that's where he has been for the past few days. I ask for your continued prayers for him. He was put out of ICU yesterday, but unfortunately, he has also been sent back to ICU, so I will be with you as long as I can, but I ask for your continued prayers over the coming days. Thank you very much for your support. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, and I want to find out how many of you have been following what's going on that's put the upstate in the national spotlight. Here is a segment that recently played on a program called America's Got Talent. Let's listen in.
Where did you come from?
Right over there in the wings.
You snuck on, didn't you? How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You look excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
And what's your name?
Ansley Burns.
And where are you from, Ansley?
Easley, South Carolina.
Oh. You got a great accent, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, Ansley, are you like a comedian or a dancer?
Well, I'm a singer.
Are you a singer?
Yeah. Easley is a very small town. The population is small. And when I was little, I used to sing and pretend like I was on America's Got Talent. My grandma would get her phone and she videoed me. And now I'm in chorus at school, so I sing a lot for my school. I would love to sing for the rest of my life. So America's Got Talent is literally my dream. It's like I'm stepping inside the television because usually I watch it on TV, and now when I see it, it's right over there. And I'm gonna be on that stage in front of all these people. And I'm just like...
What are you nervous about?
Judges, Simon. Yeah. Just a little bit. I'm really excited though.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
I really hope all the judges really like it. I've never done this before.
Okay, Ansley, what are you gonna sing?
Thank by Aretha Franklin.
Oh.
You're gonna do Aretha Franklin?
Uh-huh.
At 12?
Yeah.
Okay, you sure?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
The stage is yours.
You better.
Ansley, sorry, babe. I don't think this backing track was working for you. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible backing track. So I don't think we can judge you properly on this. I really don't. We really like you, but that was terrible. If you're going to sing Aretha, you've got to have a great track. I'm just wondering whether we should just do a verse and a chorus, maybe a cappella? Do you want some water?
Yeah.
Hang on. Come here. I haven't had any of this. This will help.
Oh, my God.
It's yeah. Like magic water. It's yours.
Gave her some of his drink.
Okay. Well, that just happened.
Okay, let's do it. Come on, you could do this, Ansley.
You got this, girl. Woo-hoo!
A cappella. Can you believe that?
It's amazing.
What do you think, Lonzo? What are your thoughts, man?
Oh, I'm just sitting back going, man, that was great.
She is 12 years old. 12! 12 years old. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I thought was cool about this, how this was a situation where the background track didn't work very well, and not many people were able to just sing a cappella like that and do so well. It's pretty amazing. Absolutely amazing.
The Simon Cowell magic water, man.
Yeah, that's what did it. The magic water. Let's zip through a look at the day in history. Let's start out in 1888 with a Senate candidate, a man who said a house divided against itself cannot stand. He later became president. What is his name?
Abraham Lincoln.
You are correct. 1885, it came in 360 pieces, had to be assembled, and now it's at New York Harbor.
Statue of Liberty.
You are correct. Wow. 1950. Well, let me skip all of these and get to 1994, the famous slow-speed car chase. Who was involved in that in 1994?
Orenthal.
Orenthal James Simpson, yes. I got it, man. Great job, and we're completely out of time. Thanks very much for joining us on the broadcast. Have yourselves a great day. God bless you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.